This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, yet another day game today, an early start at noon. Things start to get normal starting tomorrow with the night game.
Uh-oh, Churio sends it deep to left, and there she goes! Jackson Churio, his first home run of the season. A no-doubter in the left, Bernie hits the slide, and the Brewers strike first.
It was nice to see Jackson Churio get going. That home run, an RBI double there in the 10th. Brewers win 3-2 on the Bryce Terang squeeze play to score Oliver Dunn. And the Brewers get 2 out of 3 in that series against the Royals. Next up, the Reds. That's tonight. Nestor Cortes on the mound going up against Nick Lodolo for the Cincinnati Reds. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy Sparky here, Charlie Usen producing. Again, our thanks to Kelly Call and Sean Hannish, who just joined us in studio from just a bit outside the movie. Joining us now, he is a guy that will be here every Thursday at this time, 3:20. Just mark it in your calendar. Set a reminder so you know to tune in here to Wisconsin Sports Daily with Tim Dillard from FanDuel Sports Network, Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Tim, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I talked to those boys, saw them last night, so definitely check out that movie. It is spectacular.
They were talking about the Euchre thing last night on the air as well. Your takeaways from it?
I mean, just amazing. Amazing. I kind of saw Jeff Jenkins as well, and right after, you know, we were kind of leaving this thing, and I looked at Jinx and I was like, what are you thinking, man? He's like, I'm thinking I've done nothing with my life. You know, like you start hearing about a man that transcended time and space, it feels like, in so many different arenas, conquered them all, and left everybody laughing and smiling. I mean, and it's such a beloved person, Bob Euchre.
You know, that's crazy. I saw Richie Sexton was there, right? Fielder, Braun, a lot of those guys from that era. And then I would assume probably a couple from the 82 team. Costas, Al Michaels, Pat Hughes. It was amazing, it sounds like, with all the guys that were there.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. I can't even believe I was, you know, even invited. Made sure my name was spelled right. It was crazy. but just, you know, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that everybody you know, is going to be going through. It's just, you know, you're mourning the loss of this legend, but at the same time, you got to celebrate the man. He did everything. He did it right. And he's quoted daily. He's everything that we look at reminds us of him because, again, he was Mr. Baseball.
All right, talking with Tim Dillard, FanDuel Sports Network Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Let's talk about this Royals series after that horrendous Yankees series. To come back, get 2 out of 3, and then maybe get some momentum, depending on if we believe that or not. You and I have talked about that in the past, but a huge win there with Bryce Terang with that squeeze play last night. A lot of confidence rolling into this series tonight against the Reds.
Well, I think that's the key word, tonight. Like, coming on the show, just heard Rock from the audio clip talking about just some normalcy. I'm telling you, spring training, you're playing all these day games, and then it's like, okay, here, let's start the season. And then suddenly it's just a whole bunch more day games. You know, it doesn't feel any different. When back in the day, you would get done with every day game during spring training, and then you were rewarded with a night game, right? You were rewarded with being able to sleep in and go to the field not at 6 a.m. So I think that had, you know, that kind of does something to your clock your internal clock as a player when it's like, oh, look, the lights are on. We get to play a night game. And all of a sudden you start feeling relaxed. That the last two games, this is the kind of Brewers team that we've seen in the past. They've been playing the game great.
There was a conversation earlier today on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis here on The Fan, weekdays 9 to 11. Mason is off, so it was Mitch Thunder Nellis and Tommy Wirtz, his producer. And the topic was, would you at some point here soon consider reaching out to Bryce Terang and extending Bryce Terang and locking him up for the future based on what you've seen to this point? And I think most would say yes, they would be open to that possibility. I've not heard any conversation about that. What would be your thoughts on Terang long term?
Lock him up. Of course, I'd say that about 10 or 15 dudes, but no, I mean, he's a proven player. He's picking it right where he left off last year. No question, his defense is amazing. Obviously, platinum glove last year. Just pretty amazing stuff every single night from the guy. And he can beat you so many ways. We saw it with the safety squeeze and to end the game last night. But, I mean, anytime you can lock up a guy up the middle, if you can, you should. You know, whether it's a center fielder, shortstop, second base, find that pitcher, which we saw in Freddie Peralta and what he did. The Brewers locked him up years ago. And then you start looking at Contreras. Is that somebody they can keep around? Or maybe someone in the minor leagues coming up, you know, as far as catching. But you lock up the middle of the field, and you look across baseball, and that seems to be a good thing outside of the outliers, that are, you know, that big hitting first baseman or that big hitting corner outfielder. But the middle is very important in the field, especially for defense.
I was getting frustrated, Tim Dillard, yesterday. We were on the air while we were doing our show, obviously. The Brewers were playing. You had runners on second and third. Nobody out, can't get them in. Then in the 10th inning, you have the bases loaded with nobody out. They pull the infield in and were running on a contact play and get tossed out at home. I was so frustrated. My question to you is, are you a fan of running a contact play when the opposing team has the infield in?
It depends. It depends on who the runners are. I believe, was it Garrett Mitchell?
Correct.
Third base.
Yep.
This is what you do. You draw it up and you hope it works, you know, but it's easy to look back in hindsight and be like, well, what are they doing? You know, that's our job, right? In media, like, oh, what were they doing? What are they thinking out there? But they did the best thing they could with the information they had, with the people in the right positions, and it didn't work out. And yeah, it's easy to be frustrated and stuff like that, but you don't want the players to be frustrated.
Right.
You want them to learn from it and, you know, make better decisions in the future, not just from the coaching staff, from a player's decision point as well. And I mean, if you're going to make mistakes, you know, and still win, that's okay because you can learn from those mistakes either way. But for them to happen early in the season, that's what you want. Like, get them out of the way. If you're making the same mistakes in August that you are in April, something's wrong. So I don't think you'll see something similar to this that late in the season, especially back-to-back innings, having guys, you know, with a chance to score. That was something that they struggled with at times last season.
Correct.
A lot of teams do. And it's not out of the realm because, I mean, the Royals have a good pitching staff. They proved it. And, you know, it's early. It's early. We can't read too much into this.
Speaking of good pitching staff, Tim Dillard, Freddie Peralta now two starts in. The first start, he gave up a couple of home runs and then settled down after that. And yesterday, I would say for the most part, locked in. And he goes eight innings. You're probably not going to count on one hand this year how many times a starting pitcher is going to go eight innings because it's just not common in baseball anymore.
Well, they needed length, and they got it. And they, you know, if he's the ace, this is kind of what they probably have always wanted Freddie to be, especially last season when he takes over the role of the ace of the staff. We need you to go deep into ball games. And there was times when he didn't ever win eight innings. It's been like 5 years since he's gone eight innings, but he earned it. And the way he earned it is being very efficient with his pitches. Didn't walk anybody yesterday. If you look back at his 13 innings pitch this season, only one walk. That's pretty amazing stuff. From a starting pitcher playing against some of the teams that they're playing. And moving forward, if this is the Freddie Peralta that we're going to see, I mean, just get excited because he is filling up the zone, challenging hitters, and it's working. And if you want to pitch, if you want to be an ace, pitch deep in the ballgame, and it starts with being very economical with the pitches, and that's exactly what he did last night. To do that this early in the season, that's incredible.
It is incredible. Tim Diller joining us, FanDuel Sports Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. He'll join us each and every Thursday at 3:20. Some weeks it might have to get moved around depending on the TV schedule for FanDuel Sports Network based on game times and so forth. But for the most part, we'll try and keep it at this time here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Sparky with you. The other part of this is from his good to Nestor Cortez's really bad his first game against the Yankees. 5 home runs allowed. And now he gets to come back for start 2 at home, thankfully, against the Cincinnati Reds. What did you make of that first start for Cortez, other than the goofy torpedo or whatever the heck the bats are called?
Yeah, I mean, the bats, that's a nothing burger, man. These things have been around. Different kinds of bats have been around forever. It's not going to benefit everybody, so I'm not even going to – that's, most guys don't even care. They're interested in it, but you're not going to see a ton of people using it, I don't think, not for an extended period of time, but that's another issue. With Cortez, number one, if they didn't have a whole bunch of injuries, I doubt they would even ran him out there against his old team. I mean, if they had plenty of starting pitching, they probably would have held back on him and let him start the home opener.
Yep.
Which, that's what I would have done if I had any say-so, but, you know, they don't want me to have a say-so. So.
I'm with you. I would have done the same thing. And furthermore, if you look at the Game 3 starter, who eventually ended up getting hurt, he ended up, if you look at his numbers, he had like a 7 ERA or 8 ERA in New York in his career pitching there. And then in Milwaukee last year, he pitched really well. Savali, and then he ends up getting hurt, and now he's on the IL. But that would have made more sense to start in Game 4. But again, they had nobody to pitch, so they had to pitch him in Game 3.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would have thought any less if they were like, hey, we're going to save him. We don't want to pitch him against his old team. I mean, they're only playing the Yankees this spot in the entire year. And the guy just finished up with him. You know, he got traded in December, so he was still in contact with all these guys for months after the, you know, the season was over. So it's not like it's been 5 years. It's been 5 months, and now he's facing all these guys. It's a big deal. Like, they know all your tricks, and he has a lot of tricks up his sleeve, but when they jumped him, he didn't get a chance to use them. First 3 pitches, first 3 batters, 3 home runs. And then what do the Yankees do? They play the patient card. The next 7 batters took the first pitch. And as a pitcher, when you feel like everybody's swinging early, then you start nibbling at the corners. Suddenly you're behind, then the walks come. It was a horrible, perfect storm that he had to wear the brunt of it. And so I'm very interested to see what it's going to look like this time out, because he's had a few days to think about it, work on whatever he feels like he needs to work on, and know that he's not facing the Yankees. But he's facing a very, very quick Cincinnati Reds team. And for him, holding runners is key. He didn't get a chance to really do that in the Yankees game, so here he's going to show off, again, a lot of those tricks that he has.
Are you a fan, a Terry Francona fan? I feel like wherever he goes, they normally end up winning.
I heard Wade Miley say one time that he puts Pat Murphy and Terry Francona in the same sentence, because they're very authentic people that know baseball and love what they're doing. So that's a pretty good stamp of approval for me. I don't think I've ever met Terry Francona, but I look forward to doing that.
I have a personal question, if you don't mind answering it. Okay.
Oh yeah, we're off air. Go ahead.
No, definitely not off air. It came to me last night, because I saw something last night, and I've seen it before with other athletes. So, for instance, Council has obviously gone through this, and you being a famous person yourself, same thing. When you're a famous person that's played in the big leagues or whatever the case may be, and then you have kids that are coming up that are going to kind of go down that same path or whatever the case may be, and they have your name on the back of the jersey or whatever, and then what comes along with that? Like, I couldn't even imagine it. And the reason I bring it up, because Pat Murphy's kids, they're going to be playing, you know, travel ball, summer ball, or whatever the case may be. I'm just thinking to myself, man, they're young, and they're kind of going to have to deal with that as they go here.
Well, his son Kai plays for the Padres. We saw them when the Brewers played the Padres in Peoria in spring training. There's something that comes with it. I actually have a podcast I started this offseason called Buses, Benches, and Baseball, and I was just editing an episode with Kyle Wren. Kyle Wren's dad, Frank, was the GM of the
Frank
Braves
Wren,
for
yeah.
a long time.
Yep.
Frank Wren, and was GM with maybe one or two other teams, but was in the front office a lot. He played minor league baseball, and so my dad played in the big leagues and coached in minor league baseball, so the conversation that I was editing today was kind of talking about that stigma of being that guy that has a name that's recognizable on the back of the jersey. And we see it all the time. Bobby Witt Jr. just came through here. Of course, you're playing for the name on the front, but you're upholding the integrity and character of the name on the back. And people have to know that. You know, everyone should do that. It shouldn't. You don't have to be, you know, second generation major leaguer or professional baseball player to have that. Everyone should play that way. But just in personal experience, people that came up and knew my dad and said, you know, your dad coached me, or I was teammates with your dad and loved your dad. That goes a long way, and it holds you accountable. Hey, I need to be this kind of guy, you know, because I don't want that legacy to, you know, end with me. But as far as, like, having your kids play, there's no pressure. My kids don't care. They probably don't even know I played that much, you know. So if they want to run track or do gymnastics or play basketball, then I'm all for it. As long as it's a team sport, I dig it.
Yeah, I mean, this organization is all about bloodlines, right? Fielder, Tony Gwynn Jr., and now Prince's son is in the organization as well, trying to make a name for himself as a second baseman, I think. So they definitely believe in bloodlines with inside the Brewers front office.
Well, I think everyone comes to that point where it becomes serious for the kid. Like, you start getting into junior year of high school, senior year, it's like, is this serious for you, or is this just a hobby because you're doing this because your dad played? And what you find is a lot of those guys don't really – that's what they love. They know it. You know, if you know something inside and out, like, you grow to love it. And that's what it is when it comes to baseball. I grew up in it. That's all I've ever known. I told somebody last night, like, I can't even believe I had the job I do, because they're like, hey, we want you to talk baseball. Like, good. That's the only thing I know about besides Star Wars trivia. Star Wars trivia is not going to help me in this job. So the fact that I grew up in baseball, this is all I know, it's secondhand. I mean, being at the ballpark is – I almost feel more comfortable there than about anywhere else in the world.
He's Tim Dillard, FanDuel Sports Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at DimTillard. And you guys are still doing the Brewers Unfiltered podcast as well, right?
We are. They pumped out an episode, I believe, in spring training. But I think we're going to be – I think lowering the how many times it comes out, maybe once a month, maybe just twice a month. So still learning more information on that. But, again, there's a lot of different accounts you can follow to get information about the Brewers.
And go ahead and hit your own personal podcast again.
Oh, yay, I already did. But, yeah, Buses, Benches, and Baseball. I only got, like, 10 episodes, and I'm just basically talking minor league baseball with all my buddies. So it's pretty fun.
I absolutely love it. I think it's a great idea, and I like listening to it. Tim Dillard, FanDuel Sports Brewers analyst. Again, follow him on Twitter, DimTillard, every Thursday at 3:20 on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate it, Sparky.